Amen. God is good. All right. Before we get started this morning, I want to recognize at least a couple that I know of, Riley and Macy. I don't know if anybody else here is on the team or not, but they, Mann Middle School softball team, won the Lincoln Boone, I think they call it now, conference tournament this past week. And so we want to congratulate them and give them a hand clap. I think Riley even made all tournament or all conference, I think they call it now. So I've always said I've watched Riley hit the ball since she was real young, and I always told Bobby Cooper, she's going to hurt somebody one day. Third baseman ain't going to pay attention. She's going to take somebody's head off with that ball. So, we're proud of them and all the hard work that they put in. And I'm excited about today and going forward. Dave asked me when I showed up this morning, he said, got any scriptures? And I ended up trying to give him maybe five or six or something like that to try to narrow it down some. I said, man, it's going to be all over the place, really. And I've got a lot of notes here that I sort of want to stick close to, simply because if I don't, with a subject like the Holy Spirit, I would have a chance to ramble, believe it or not. I know, you know, we're not used to taking rabbit trails with me, but sometimes, and that's a joke, I know we're used to rabbit trails with me, but if there was ever an opportunity to take a rabbit trail, it would be while you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's because so many times the Holy Spirit in Scripture maybe is misunderstood or maybe not taught thoroughly, we'll say. And there's a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, I think, a lot of times in Scripture, especially when you take a Pentecostal church that teaches that or worships with that in mind. I think a lot of times some things get misunderstood there. And want to make one statement as we begin to open up here when we talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's going to get tonight. Today is going to be like a 30,000 foot overview where that we sort of dip down and take a little bit closer look, then jump right back up and take another 30,000 foot overview, because I want to talk to you about some key roles of the Holy Spirit's activity in the life of a believer, and make you aware of that. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit is even active and we don't realize he's active because we can't see him. As a matter of fact, Jesus sort of alluded to that when he talked about those that are born of the Spirit. He said, you can't see the wind, but you know that it's there. You know where it came from. You can sort of, or you don't know where it's came from, don't know where it's going, but you can sort of see the effects of the wind. In other words, when the wind blows, you don't actually see the wind blowing, but you can see the trees moving because the wind is blowing. And so I think that's one of the things that sort of eludes us when we talk about the Holy Spirit, is we don't always see the Holy Spirit directly, so to speak, but we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and in your worship service as well. And so we're going to talk about those key roles this morning, but I want to make one statement when we get out of the gate here about our belief as a Pentecostal church. And I think Ted shared this story not long ago, maybe in a group on Wednesday night or something. Him and Tared started coming, and they were a different background than our church here, which, you know, isn't anything unusual. As a matter of fact, let's just do this just for fun. How many of you were raised something other than Church of God? Look at that. So I would say this, you're not alone. If you feel like, man, you know, is everybody here just, you know, born and bred, knows nothing but Church of God? No. We're a very diverse church, and I love that. I enjoy that, actually. And so one of the questions that Ted and Tara had, especially Ted, you know, because it's, I understand, when you're born again, you feel the Spirit of God. And I want you to understand that when you get born again, you receive the Spirit of God that's a witness that you are saved. You have the Spirit of God. There's a misconception that believes or says that Church of God doesn't believe that you have the Holy Spirit until you do this or that or whatever. And that's not the case. And that was the thing that Ted wanted to make sure right up front. He said, are you telling me I don't have the Holy Spirit? And I was like, not at all. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, but yet there's experiences that you can have with Him that we sort of explore and go after and take that opportunity to do so. And it's going to get a little bit fun the next couple of weeks because we're going to get into some of that. And we're going to talk about all the Scripture, not just a few and things of that nature. But again, today we'll have to corral it and sort of set the stage here with this 30,000 foot overview. And I want you to understand first and foremost that the Holy Spirit, He's a gatherer. You know, our vision statement here is gather, grow, and go. And so He's a gatherer. And what that means is He will gather individuals together with the cause of uplifting the name of Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning, and I love this, whether you're saved, lost, or you're not sure, you're sort of wondering, I would submit to you this, that you're here because the Holy Spirit led you here one way or the other. Because the Holy Spirit is a gatherer. We know that in the beginning, when God looked down and He saw the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, and then all of a sudden when God spoke, the Spirit moved, and He started gathering the waters together so that the dry land would appear. He's a gatherer and He's a uniter. He's a unifier. And I think it's astounding to me that the enemy takes the very person in the Trinity that's made to unify, and I'll explain that in just a minute, and has caused so much division within the body of Christ over the years because the Holy Spirit is given to unify and to bring together. How many of you remember the Tower of Babel? Right? Everybody got together, and believe it or not, they had this idea they're going to build this tower to heaven, and God actually makes this statement, and it blows my mind. And so, you know, when we look at some of the things that this generation is doing with AI and some of these other things, it really blows my mind. But then I think back to the Scripture where that in Genesis chapter 11, they got together and said, we're going to build this tower to heaven. And God actually made this statement. These people are in one mind. They got this purpose. And they're coming together. They all speak the same language. We got to go down and do something about this. Now, if I said, hey, let's all gather together. We're going to start tomorrow. We're going to build a tower. Ray is going to be the head contractor here over our tower to heaven. He's going to help us build a tower to heaven, and we want everybody here to start in the morning. Y'all would go, you're nuts. You can't build a tower to heaven. And yet God said, we better go do something about this. And what did He do? He made a big barrier there between the groups of people when He confused or confounded their languages. That's why it's called Babylon, Babel. To each other now they were babbling, right? God confuses that language, and so He sort of divides that up because He understands when people get together and they communicate and they have a purpose in mind, there's hardly anything that isn't attainable to them. And so for years, the language is confounded and they don't understand each other's language. And so it goes. And then we find out after Jesus is resurrected and sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the Spirit of God comes back as He promised on the day of Pentecost there when they're all in one room, in one accord at the upper room. And what happens? The Spirit comes and sets upon their... And here we go. I'm already jumping over into week three here somewhere. We see cloven, divided tongues of fire setting upon each of them. And what happens? They all begin to speak in a language different than theirs. And they all sit around and go, I understand that. I understand that. What's going on here? I'm different, but I understand what he's saying. And so God removes that barrier that He put in Genesis chapter 11 now, and He says, I want my church to be able to communicate and put their minds together so that they can do what they will to do because they're going to have my purpose in mind. And so the Holy Spirit is a unifier, and He's somebody that brings people together with one purpose and makes that communication possible. That's His job. And some of the roles that we want to talk about today in the body, in the individual believer's life, number one, is if you're saved this morning, Or if the Lord is dealing with you to be saved, I want you to understand that that's the Holy Spirit of God and His job to deal with you, or to have dealt with you and to convict you and to bring you to God's Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, and if you want to stand for the scripture, you better stand now, because there's going to be like 101 of these things unless I cut it way down. John chapter 16, verse 8, and this is coming out of the ESV, says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You can be seated if you wish. So we see that conviction here by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is teaching us that one of the biggest roles in the Holy Spirit's role in the life of a believer is this, that he will convict them concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The conviction will draw the sinner to God. That involves this awareness, if you will, and the acknowledgement of sin against God. It's the thing that you and I experienced one day when we felt that heaviness, or however God dealt with you through the Holy Spirit, and you decided that you had sinned against God and that you did not want to bear that load any longer, and God drew you to an altar. I'm going to tell you something. That was the Holy Spirit there convicting you and drawing you. And as a matter of fact, you can't come to God the Father except through that drawing of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, he's really the first one, I would say, that you truly get introduced to in this relationship is when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and draws you to an altar of prayer. Because if he doesn't, all you're having is worldly sorrow. And the Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians, where it says, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, but worldly grief produces death. In other words, that regret that you have, the reason that you're sorry, the reason that you feel bad, if it's a worldly motivation, nothing happens. But if it's a godly motivation through the Holy Spirit, then you can be saved and set apart, sanctified, that we'll talk about in just a few minutes, for His work. I often tell a funny story, and I've told it a couple of times through the years here, where this old boy that grew up on the holler there, he was out, I guess, hunting one time, had a gun in the hills or whatever, and came up on one of my Uncle Jerry's cows. My Uncle Jerry used to keep cows all the time and raise them for slaughter and stuff. And I don't know how many of you know now. I mean, he's been gone a little bit now, but I don't know how many of you ever met my Uncle Jerry. I know Charlie and some of them has, because he actually built the bridge that we go across out here. He was a construction worker, owned a construction company. And he was taller than I am, broader than I am, bigger than I am, and he had hands about that long. If you ever seen Jerry Taylor, you'd never forget what he looked like, would you, Charlie? He's a big man. I mean, even his hands look like it'd just wrap around your head and pick you up like a baseball or something. Just a big man. Well, somebody got out, one of them boys that was raised on the hog, got out hunting one day and killed one of his cows. Word got back to my Uncle Jerry, who done it. Guess who showed up at church the very next Sunday? That guy that killed my uncle's cow. Because he knew my uncle was superintendent of Sunday school. And the plan had to be this. If I go up to the altar and I get down and I pray, then I talk to him, everything's going to be all right. Sure enough, the plan went as follows. And Jerry, don't worry about it, son. We all make mistakes, you know, this and that. Never saw him again. So it wasn't he had sinned against God. He was afraid of the big guy, Jerry, not the big guy, Jerry Toler. And so he wanted to come and sort of smooth things over. That's worldly sorrow. That's, hey, I've gotten trouble. Now I need to get out of this trouble, and I'm going to turn to God, or I'm going to do this or that. And that doesn't work, the salvation that we're talking about this morning. But if you truly have ever been convicted in your heart, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have sinned against the God of heaven and earth, and you want to make that right, that is the Holy Spirit convicting you and drawing you to God. And I never want to underestimate His role in that, as a matter of fact, if you've ever felt the Spirit of God and convicted you and drew you to an altar and then also continues to convict you and let you know, you don't have to wonder whether you're in sin or not. You don't have to wonder whether you messed up or not. You've got a Spirit that will tell you and let you know that you need to pray and ask for forgiveness. If you're glad for that, can we give Him a hand clap of praise? I'm so thankful that God gives us the Spirit of God that'll convict us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if He doesn't chastise you, you don't have a father. But when He chastises you, when the Spirit of God convicts you about things, that means He loves you and you've got a heavenly Father. So it's not a bad thing to feel that conviction. It's actually a good thing. One of the greatest roles in the Holy Spirit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is sanctification, that indwelling. And sanctification, and this could take a little while to sort of get through this morning, but we believe that sanctification subsequent to a new birth through faith in the blood of Christ, through the Word and by the Holy Ghost. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, Bible says, and by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the blood or of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, it tells us that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have, through the Spirit of God, sanctification, that we've been sanctified. And I want to break that down for you, because there's a lot of misconceptions about that as well. But I want you to understand that God's standard for living is still holiness. He has not changed His standard. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when you were saved, you were reconciled to God. Do you know what that word reconciled in the Greek means? It means made to fit. In other words, at one time before you were saved, you were not made to fit with God. And this is the best illustration of God, is the good old two hands here. You ready? So God is here. You were here. And no matter what, you could not be reconciled. You couldn't be put together. You couldn't be fit together until the Bible says that through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God drawing you and dwelling on the inside of you, then you were reconciled to God. God was not reconciled to you. You were reconciled to God, and now you have become one because of the Spirit of God that convicted you, drew you, and now lives on the inside of you. God did not change His standards or lower His standards. He actually sent His Son to fulfill the law so that you and I could fulfill that as well and be raised up. We didn't have to bring God down. God brought us up. And thank God we're now, through the Spirit of God, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have been reconciled with God. And when we stand and raise our hands, it is the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Give Him a hand clap of praise. That Holy Spirit helps us meet that standard of holiness for God's way of living. See, standard. Now I want you to understand this. It's that primary agent that we experience sanctification through, along with faith and the Word of God. In other words, if you get saved and you think that you've got to put all this work in to do this, that, don't do this, don't do that, you're sort of working the Holy Spirit out of His job, and you need to understand that you're not going to be able to check every box unless you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. This should be interesting. Let me precursor this one. Besides the person you're sitting beside, some of you are sitting close to relatives and family and spouses. So let's take that out so we don't start any more. Of course, it might be a good way to bolster my marriage group on Wednesday. Man, that was good this past Wednesday already. We started digging into some stuff, been real good, but it's sort of full, so I don't want to start anything else right now. I might agitate a little bit more when it comes to sign up again. But how many of you, barring the person beside, you can't count them. How many have ever been around somebody that's a little bit hard to deal with? Somebody done got delivered over here. I heard a whoo. sometimes people are hard to deal with, right? You know what we do? We end up trying to deal with that person within ourselves. Matter of fact, I'm made to believe, and we'll get into this in just a minute, he's the teacher, he's the guide, he's the director of everything we do. And before you make too many decisions, and I'm talking about some decisions that you just go, well, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do this. You better incorporate the Holy Spirit into that equation, because he's going to be the one that we're going to find out in just a minute. It's going to lead you into all truth. But that person that's hard to deal with, and you say, man, it's just so hard to deal with them. You'll never deal with them outside of dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God leading you, directing you, guiding you, and loving that person through you, because you within yourself, you're not going to be able to do that. I'm here to tell you that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit allows that sanctification. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of God. And if we allow the Spirit of God to mold us and shape us, we'll be able to love the unlovable. We'll be able to reach the unreachable. We'll be able to do the undoable because of the Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, not because of anything that you've done. We learned that in the Old Testament when he said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, it's because the Spirit of God that you'll be able to accomplish those things, and we'll talk about in just a little bit, to empower you to be a witness to him, to his Son Jesus Christ. Sanctification, to get a little theological in it, and this sounds academic this morning, and it's meant to be, because if I don't, I won't get through everything that I feel like we need to get through before we really jump into it next week. Sanctification, it's often described as the second definite work of grace, okay? And it's distinct from justification. So when the Spirit of God comes in, he begins to sanctify you. As a matter of fact, the blood of Jesus Christ will sanctify you and make you, as you can stand before God, justified. And that word justified means justified, never sin. Every time I say that, I expect more response. Y'all don't get that, do you? That's the Pentecostal, old Pentecostal definition of justified. Justified, never sinned. So when you say, I don't know if we're not getting it or you just don't think it as profound as I do. I'm not sure. There's a thing called justification, means when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, convicts you, brings you to God, and now you're cleansed from all your unrighteousness, you can stand justified. And there's a difference in being justified and just being let off the hook. So if you go to court and you're guilty of something, but through some loophole you can get out of it, you can walk out a free person, but you cannot walk out justified because you are guilty of that act. But the Spirit of God brings you into the body of Christ, and God justifies you. In other words, you can stand up and walk out of the courtroom like you never done what you've done because of the Spirit of God drawing you and the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ and his blood being applied to your soul. That's a total different thing than sanctification. Are y'all with me or no? So when you come and you're saved, you're justified. Justified, never sinned. And then the second divine work of grace there that begins, you're given the Spirit of God to begin to work on you and to sanctify you. And there's a standing sanctification that says this: I'm justified, I'm new, I'm standing before the Lord just like I'd never sinned in my life. But then there's a working sanctification that takes place in your heart every day if you allow the Spirit of God to do so. He'll remove sin. He'll actually make that sin repulsive if you'll allow it. I remember one time reading on an old fella, I read it or maybe watched the video of it, I can't remember now, it's been so long ago, but he was, I don't know, 90 some years old or something, and they said, health wise or whatever, he said, you seem to be doing okay and all that, and you've lived a long life, and what's the answer to that? And is there anything you really don't like, or what's the one thing through life that you couldn't stand, or are you allergic to anything? Like, he was throwing all these questions in. He said, one thing I don't like is sin. Stopped that reporter in his tracks. He said, I don't like sin because I've been born again. He'll actually make sin repulsive to you if you'll be born of the Spirit of God. When that sin presents itself, yeah, even the ones that you think, the Spirit of God will say, no, you don't need to do that. And He'll lead you and direct you and guide you. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit will actually lead you back to make you look like God the Father. Because you know what? You were made in His image and in His likeness, but then the fall created a gulf between what we were made to be and what we are now. Because sin has entered into the world, we are all born into sin and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice and the Spirit of God drawing us to Him, and then the work of the Spirit in our lives, it removes that gulf so that you and I can act more like our Father. And that's the purpose of the child of God. Sort of goes back to the illustration when they're purifying the gold. And we know that there's scriptures that Peter uses that your faith being tried by fire. And when they would purify that gold, the goldsmith would boil that gold. And when the impurities would come up, it would get darker. And he would take and rake the impurities off the top of it. And then he'd boil it some more. And any more impurities would come to the top. And he'd rake those impurities off. And he was there until he could see his reflection in that gold. I'm going to tell you something. God the Father allows the Holy Spirit to put you in the boiler. And He boils you until the impurities come to the top. And then the Spirit of God removes that until God can see His reflection in you and I. The Spirit of God will continue to work on the inside of us to lead us and direct us and guide us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, sanctification. He's also a teacher and a guide. The Bible calls Him a helper, an advocate, a comforter, a counselor. One of the greatest things, in my opinion, the Spirit of God does is He will illuminate the Word of God. I was talking to some of the guys that teach and preach, and sort of maybe agitate some people, but that's all right. We was talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and y'all didn't know. I let the whole community know, man. I mess with it. I sort of like to gouge it, and it doesn't scare me at all. Like to ask it questions or play games with it or whatever. I don't care one bit, you know what? Because I got supernatural intelligence living on the inside of me called the Holy Spirit that's going to let me know what's bull and what's not. Are y'all with me? There's some stuff that is nonsense that will come out of that thing. And if you got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you'll know the difference. I'm not afraid of it at all. I've got supernatural intelligence living on the inside of me. And that Spirit that lives on the inside of you will illuminate the Word of God. And you'll find things that you never even dreamed or even understood. Remember how I said the Spirit of God is there to convict you and draw you and bring you to an altar of prayer? If you go back and read in Genesis, there's a crazy story in there, Ray, about Abraham and his oldest servant, Eleazar, I believe is his name. He tells Eleazar, put your hand up under my thigh. What? And he says, I want you to swear to me that you won't let my son take him a bride from this heathen nation where we're at right now. I want you to go back, find him a bride somewhere where I came from, because I don't want him marrying into this craziness, this culture that there is now. And his oldest servant said, I swear to you. So what happens? We all know the story, right? His servant goes and he prays the God of heaven. He says, Lord, here's what my master wants. I'm going to ask that you do this. And sure enough, the sign happens. And there's Rebecca. And he comes up to Rebecca and says, hey, we want you to come back and marry Isaac. And Rebecca goes back to the family. And long story short, believe it or not, without even seeing Isaac, she gets on the camel and she goes with the servant and goes. And when they meet each other, it's love at first sight. They get married, and so the story continues. The question becomes, why in the world is that in the Scripture? But if you look up the name, Eleazar, the servant there, I think I'm pegging that right. I know it starts with an E. I think it's Eleazar. It's been a long time since I read that story. But you'll see where that name actually means helper. So, I'm going to lay this out for you. This is supernatural intelligence from the Holy Spirit, not artificial intelligence. AI would never tell you this. So we have the Father who tells the Helper, I want you to go and you're going to draw a bride to my son. Y'all with me? So when God tells the Helper, I want you to go and I want you to draw a bride to my son. You know why that story's in the Old Testament? To show you what the Spirit of God was going to do in the New Testament. That is the stuff that I'm talking about, that the Holy Spirit will illuminate through the Word of God, that you're not going to find on a computer somewhere, but it's authored by the Spirit of God to allow you to connect the dots. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And when you begin to connect those dots, your faith begins to grow and you go, man, I never realized that was why that was in there. Everything that's in there, you need to track it back and understand. And only the Spirit of God can truly do that for you. AI or Bible studies or whatever can connect some of the dots and put those scriptures together. But if you want some kind of revelation, it's going to come from the Spirit of God. Bible says he'll guide you into truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. In other words, when you feel that Spirit of God tell you something, it's not him, it's God the Father. He is the one that is guiding you in all truth. Again, let's go back to that scenario. Well, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or maybe this and that, and I'm going to do this instead of that. Have you conferred with the Holy Spirit about it first? Don't just make snap decisions, but understand that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you in all truth. I'm going to tell you what, there's been plenty of times in my life where I had gotten in major trouble had I not had the Holy Spirit yank me by the ear and say, hey, you probably don't need to do that. Remember what the Scripture says? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He'll reveal those deep things to you. He'll declare future things to you. To sort of set up a little bit, maybe next week, he'll assist in prayer. Romans chapter 8 says, likewise, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we don't know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us. Groanings too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He'll help you pray when you don't know what to pray. He'll empower you to be a witness, to have ministry that glorifies God. I'm going to try to close here just in a minute or two. But Dave, you got that last one, Acts chapter 1, verse 5? I'm maybe going to set up a little bit next week. And if I repeat myself, it's all right. You probably, how many of you watched a movie more than once? All right then. I can repeat myself. A buddy of mine said something the other day, texted me and we was talking. He said, yeah, just, you know, we was talking about the evening or whatever. I said, yeah, it's calzone night. I love calzones on Thursday. I don't know why, but I do. Thursday evening, Kelly's at choir or praise team practice, and she don't even ask anymore what you want for dinner or whatever. I just get a calzone. So what are you going to do? I said, have my calzone, watch Tombstone. He said, again? Yeah, again. I can watch Tombstone once a week. So we all watch those movies over and over and over. So sometimes a preacher might repeat himself, but it's all right. Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, John baptized you with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days from now. There's another experience that you can have. If you've been born again, you've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, and he's working his ministry, and he's sanctifying you. He'll lead you in all truth and all righteousness. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. But I want you to know that he'll also just absolutely fill you completely. And I know there's a little bit of, we'll probably touch on that some next week, that sometimes that can be a little misleading, I think, when we talk about filling and things of that nature. But there's another experience when where he comes in and he'll actually empower you to even do a greater boldness and a greater witness maybe than even what you're doing right now. And I want to set that up to let you know that we're going to talk a little bit about that next week, because I believe in the baptism or in the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When he says that, he means this: there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that brings you into the body of Christ. How many of you know that when you were saved, the Spirit of God baptized you that day? It's what the Scripture talks about. By the Spirit, you were baptized into one body, which is Jesus Christ. That tells me when you get saved, you're purified, you're sanctified, you're justified, and the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ. But you know what John said? There's one coming after me who's mightier than I am. Shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unbuckle. He's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. I mean, you know, when you get saved, the next logical thing to do, commanded by the Scriptures, to be baptized. So there we have three baptisms in Scripture. So how can we say that Paul's talking about one baptism only? Paul's talking about the one baptism that occurs on the day that you're saved. We're going to talk about another baptism that'll occur, and that is in the Holy Spirit of God, where He comes in and completely fills you, and you'll have this experience. And it'll be too late for anybody to tell you any different because you've had that experience. Tara mentioned this in one of the groups or something. Well, the group, and I'm going to probably butcher this. I loved it when she said it. Seems like I'd heard it a long time ago, maybe from her, and sort of forgot it, but it goes something like, a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an opinion. Y'all with me? So if you've experienced that Holy Spirit in your life, you understand and know exactly what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God does so many things for you, and there is an experience you can have and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, and all the things that come with it. And we're going to talk about that next week. But I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit will empower you. He'll minister through you. I don't care if you're walking. Here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter where you're at. When you're walking through Walmart, He'll empower you. If somebody needs prayer or something like that, He will empower you. I never will forget, and I'm going to close. I stopped by the post office to get the mail one day, and there was a lady that I knew that was sort of hit and miss in church. Those people usually have these kind of problems, just to be honest with you. If they're hit and miss, they usually have more problems than those that don't miss as much. But she said, I need to ask you something, need you to pray about something, need you to help me with something. I said, what's that? She said, I don't think my marriage is going to last. I said, is that right? She said, yeah. And started talking about how her husband didn't like how she went into so much grief after her father died, and how when his son that was no longer living with him, when, you know, he was around, like that was all that mattered to him, and there was a void there, like she was going through grief and he was going through this and that. She was like, it seems like we can't make an agreement at all. And I'd love to have some advice on it. How many of you know when you just got off from 12 hours of work and you stopped by the post office thinking you're going to grab your mail, go back to your truck, go home, need a calzone or whatever it is? When somebody confronts you with that, and listen, you ain't been in church. You ain't been praying all day. You've been fighting the world trying to get through it without slinging something or punching somebody or something. You know what I mean? Y'all ever been with me? Don't act like that. Don't act like y'all don't do that. There's times that we struggle. And so in the middle of the struggle, you're confronted with, what do I do here? You know what I said within myself? God, you've got to help me. I need the Spirit of God to show me something. And for 30 minutes, I sounded like a spiritual Dr. Phil. I said, put yourself in his shoes. Tell him to put yourself... Y'all swap roles and think about that. How would you feel if, you know, you got to spend one more day with your dad? Wouldn't you just, everything else go to the wayside except your dad? She said, yeah. I said, well, that's how he feels when his son comes around. I said, y'all got to meet on common ground. Swap shoes. And the whole time I'm saying it, I'm on autopilot. In my mind, I'm going, This is good. I should write a book. This is good stuff. And I don't even realize I'm doing it. The Spirit of God is doing it for me. Are y'all with me? Long story short, they're still together today. And I can't help but believe that it wasn't me, but it was the Spirit of God who helped an old boy that had been at work all day, wasn't really looking for somebody to even minister to. And yet, when it was there, and you say, God, help me. How many of you heard my story about the lady that was dying that loved marijuana? Y'all remember that story, don't you? If you tell me why marijuana's wrong, I might get saved. And I thought, man, there's no commandment that says don't do that. And so I prayed. Y'all getting a revelation here what you should do? Lord, you've got to help me. And I said, why do you do that? She said, to escape reality. I said, so it gives you peace? She said, yep, like I've never known. I said, well, God wants to do that, and he's a jealous God. He don't want any other gods before him. And again, I'm on autopilot, and in the back of my mind, I'm going, man, that is good. What I'm telling you is, if you will stop and pause and pray, the Holy Spirit of God will come out of you and say things to help people and minister and even direct you in your only family situation. If you'll just stop and pause long enough to say, Holy Spirit, do you want to help me with this? And I promise you this, he'll never lead you wrong. He'll never leave you hanging. Thank God I feel the Spirit of God when I say that. He is a friend. He is a comforter. He is a guide. Jesus said, I'm going to go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And he's talking about his Spirit, the Spirit of God that comes and dwells on the inside of us. Would you stand with me to your feet this morning? I want us to all bow our heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful and thankful, God, for the Spirit of God that does so many things in our lives that we could stand up here for days and talk about the things that the Spirit of God will do for us and through us and in us. But God, we ask, Lord, right now that if there's somebody here who says, you know what, I desire that Spirit of God, but there's a gulf between me and you. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're out of fellowship. Maybe you're falling away and backslidden. Maybe you don't feel like God's as close as you should be. And the Holy Spirit is here to convict you and draw you to this altar. If that's you, that's not by chance. That's not just you feeling bad. If you feel that Holy Spirit of God convicting you and saying, Lord, I want to feel that. I want to experience that presence of God. I want to know that when I go out in this day, when I raise my kids, when I help with my grandkids, when I go about my work tomorrow, my day tomorrow, God, that you're going to be there through your Spirit to lead me and direct me and guide me, and that I'm going to get to lay up treasure in heaven. If that's you, and there's a void between you and God this morning, first and foremost, we want to open up the altar for that. Anybody at all that would say, you know what, I want to acknowledge that I'd love the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. I want the rest of us to do something, and this is going to be confusing to some of you, and that's all right. Not confusing, but maybe you'll question it a little bit. I want you to raise your hands this morning, if you would. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would be present in our lives to the extent that he can't be ignored this week. Listen, he's there. If you've been born again, he's there. Now, you might have walked off and you're sort of walking after the flesh more than the Spirit, and that's a thing. The Bible says, though, if you're saved, you can walk in the Spirit. But this week, I pray that we would all experience the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. We're not going to pray. This is what's going to be like, well, what are you doing? We're not going to be prayed. We're not going to pray about somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit this week. We're just going to pray that He be evident in our lives more than what He was last week. Bible says you can bear fruit through the Spirit of God. Patience, love, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, meekness. We're going to pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our lives more this week than He was last week. We're going to set up this coming week, and we're going to be ready to receive the Word of God to say, you know what? I experienced the Holy Spirit of God in my life such a great way this past week. I just want to come up and seek everything that He and the Father has for me. God, we worship You and magnify You, Father. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit that does lead, direct, and guide. And no matter where we're at or what we're doing, You're always there through Your Spirit to be able to touch and to mold and to shape and to guide us and direct us. Even when you're confronted with situations where we don't know where to turn, the Spirit of God will give us that knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom, God, that only comes from You, Father. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, God. Because in a world of artificial intelligence, in a world of so many voices and so much noise, so many times it's still just that small, still voice that speaks to us and directs us and guides us through everything that we're doing. Now here's what I do feel led to do.